Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I just want to express my deep, heartfelt gratitude again for everyone showing up. I look forward to this. It feels like I'm getting together with the best of friends every week, and there's no better way to spend our time than remembering truth. So thank you all so much for showing up. Let's start our time together this evening with a brief meditation, allowing your eyes to close and turning your attention within. And bringing attention to a tiny bit of willingness. Maybe it's tiny willingness, or maybe it's a lot of willingness. And if we can just connect with even the smallest amount of willingness and feeling into that willingness and giving that willingness to Holy Spirit, above all else, we want to see. And above all else, we want to see differently. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives, and we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight. So taking a nice, mindful breath in, and out. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Ah, yay. So we are keeping with the theme of Easter. We're in the Easter section. I loved how last week it actually corresponded to the holiday, and this obviously is just like Christmas. The Course says that Christmas is not a time, it's a state of mind. This isn't just a day that we should be celebrating our resurrection. It's every day, so I'm excited to keep the Easter theme going. If you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 479. Subheading is Thorns and Lilies. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it is Chapter 20, Part 3. Also, subheading is called Thorns and Lilies. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's Chapter 20, Part 2, The Gift of Lilies. And if you have the Circle of Atonement edition, it is page 636. It's Chapter 20, Part 2, The Gift of Lilies. I want to tell you just a really funny story. So last week at the family Easter dinner, I told you all that I just had a really hard time. And I don't even know how to sum up. I'm going to have to write a blog post or something because I had some big shifts come in. And willingness to forgive the person that I did not want to forgive. Today, some of the grievance kicked up again. And I felt like, all right, that's it. I need to call and set a boundary. I need to call this person and set a boundary. I'm going to do it as calmly as I can, but I did feel that ego fire in me wanting to correct and wanting to attack, really. And as I was picking up the phone, I said, Holy Spirit, I'm giving this to you. If I'm not supposed to say this right now, have them not pick up the phone. And guess what? They didn't pick up the phone. So I then, in getting ready for our call, opened up to this very section, and I read our reading for tonight and just had to laugh at Jesus' sense of humor, because here it is again. Corinne, will you get the message already? If you offer thorns to your brother, you're giving them to yourself, and you don't want this. And again, this doesn't mean we don't set loving boundaries, but my circumstances are, you know, very specific, and I'm going through this with the Holy Spirit and willing to follow this guidance every step of the way. So I feel like this message tonight is for me. So here we go. thorns and lilies or the gift of lilies? Look upon all the trinkets made to hang upon the body, or to cover it, or for its use. See all the useless things made for its eyes to see. Think on the many offerings made for its pleasure. And remember, all these were made to make seem lovely what you hate. Would you employ this hated thing to draw your brothers to you and to attract his body's eyes? Learn you but offer him a crown of thorns, not recognizing it for what it is, and trying to justify your own interpretation of its value by his acceptance. Yet still, the gift proclaims his worthlessness to you, as his acceptance and delight acknowledges the lack of value he places on himself. So I'll pause here. We're back to pausing after each paragraph.
Okay, I have a problem with this.
Okay.
How is it? Where do you draw the line? I mean, there is a difference between looking your best. You know, my husband appreciates it when I have taken the time to, you know, he said, oh, you look really nice. You know, you look nice, thank you, or something like that. And doing what's described here as drawing attention to yourself.
Right.
Where do you draw the
great
line? I mean,
question. I said great question. Your task is to do what you feel inclined to do and do it with Holy Spirit. So if you're dressing up yourself, give it to the Holy Spirit. Give it all. Because on the absolute level, what this is saying is that when we value the body and identify with the body, we are identifying with fear, and we're strengthening fear in each other when we're using the body. Instead of a communication device, we're using the body to hang on to others or to attract others or that. So we can't change our behavior just about knowing that, because we have to be where we're at. So it's important that if we feel, you know, like, I mean, I still dress up and still put on makeup. We do these things with Holy Spirit. The purpose of us doing it, we're giving to Spirit, because that purpose is going to change. We're no longer going to have the purpose as we engage and go down this path, and I'm sure many of us can relate to this, the purpose of the body changes. So it's no longer to glorify the body. It's that we now are shifting our identity, recognizing that we are not this clay garment, and that we can instead use the body as that communication device to extend love. So does that answer your question? That you don't even have to worry about where to draw the line, that the only thing to do is to give it to Holy Spirit.
That doesn't mean you pull him in on, or the Spirit in on everything you choose to wear. It's just that you are in a state of mind, right, where you are getting dressed for the purpose of doing the Spirit, Holy Spirit work.
You know, the course is really practical. It actually says somewhere, does this mean that, I can't think of the exact words, and if it comes to anybody's, like, every time on every single thing, no, but when you remember, do it. So it is, I like what you said, Sue, that like it can be a mind state where we're in that state of willingness to be miracle minded, and we, you know, go about our day. In that willingness to be miracle minded is a given, you know, that we're giving it to Holy Spirit. So do I remember to give it over every time I put on mascara? No. So I like how you said it's a state of mind.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Yeah. I would say you should look at Tigger. You should look at the underlying motivation.
Yes.
Because if you look at people who do all kinds of plastic surgeries, for example. Yeah, just think about it, what they do. They spend enormous amounts of money. They go for huge risk on, you know, just damaging and destroying their bodies, right? And they go for it. Why? because they think they're ugly. They feel guilty. You see, they feel guilty. Look at the people who are obsessed at getting on losing weight, for example. Yeah, they dream about it. They want. They say, "Oh, I want to be fit. I want to lose weight and stuff like that." But why? Why do they do? You have to look at the underlying motivation. Why do you want it? And if the answer is because you think you're ugly, because you feel guilty, because you blame yourself, this is definitely the ego's motivation, right? This is the motivation that comes from the ego. While if you go for a date or, you know, any kind of event and you feel inspired and to put makeup, to wear some beautiful dress or something, this is a totally different motivation, right? This is from the joy. This comes from joy. So this is the Holy Spirit's motivation. So I would say this is the line that you can use. So what is the underlying motivation? Do you feel guilty for it? That's why you want to do it. Or do you feel joy and do you feel inspired to do it? Thank you.
Thank you, Igor.
Thank you. Really perfect.
It is. I'm so grateful. I'm super grateful, Igor, that you went there, because that underlying motivation is so important. Just to give a couple of specific examples, if we're going for plastic surgery, looking at the underlying motivation, why? Are we fighting aging? Are we upset about aging, how the body is changing? Then we have a belief to look at in aging and sickness and death and just the fact that we think we are a body. You know, if you think you're ugly, you're identifying, or you think you're beautiful, you're identifying with a physical body, and that's the underlying thing to look at with Holy Spirit. And if it's something for that we're doing for somebody else, we have to then look at what is the underlying belief here. Is it the special relationship? And if it is, I'm willing to look at that with Holy Spirit. So, Igor, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Hi, Corinne.
Yes.
Corinne? Yes, hi. Yeah, I just wanted to add, yeah, it all has to do with us, as you said, believing we are a person.
Definitely. And that's this pesky identification that we are so addicted to, believing that we are a person.
You know what?
Instead
you can,
of spiritual substance. Yes, go on.
But you can, when you realize that you are not a person, then you can continue living in this world however you like, because you're grounded in the fact that you are not a person. So it really doesn't actually matter what you do, because ultimately that's not really who you are.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. The Course actually says that we will, as we experience these holy instants and these miracles, we step out of time and we come back, and we might not look different to the body's eyes, but we smile more. There's that change inside. So that's exactly what you just articulated, Meg. You've made me think of that part of the Course. Thank you. That was awesome. Anybody else? Let's move on. Next paragraph. Yes.
Just really quickly, I remember hearing Eckhart Tolle say something like, love and do what you will. Like, it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you love, as long as you express love in the world. And if that's your motivation, it doesn't matter what you do.
I love that. I love that. And that's in Course terms. It doesn't matter. Do what you're going to do with Holy Spirit. Do whatever you feel inclined to do, and do it with Holy Spirit, because that's where I always like to think about that, where we can get caught in, am I doing this with ego or am I doing this from Holy Spirit? And it's ultimately an ego trap to get caught in the thinking of analyzing which one is it. Instead, if we just give it to Holy Spirit, what's false is going to fall away. What's false is going to fall away as we are ready to let it go. So we don't have to figure it out, and that's where we get so insulted. The ego gets so insulted because it's so damn simple, and we want to make it hard.
So true.
Okay, next paragraph. Gifts are not made through bodies, if they be truly given and received. For bodies can neither offer nor accept, hold out or take. Only the mind can value, and only the mind decides on what it would receive and give. And every gift it offers depends on what it wants. It will adorn its chosen home most carefully, making it ready to receive the gifts it wants by offering them to those who come unto its chosen home, or those it would attract to it. And there they will exchange their gifts, offering and receiving what their minds judge to be worthy of them. Okay, so the body is wholly neutral. It's the mind that decides what it's going to send out or receive. And every gift that is offered, that the mind offers, depends on what it wants. So does the mind, is it choosing for ego and it wants the body to be its home and therefore it's choosing for fear? Or if we are identifying with the fact that we are spirit, that we are mind, and we are identifying with that as our home, and again, this comes in stages and phases. We don't just get there, in my experience at least. It's a gradual process. That's where we learn how to extend love. So the identification with the body, that's the home of fear. The identification with our mind in truth, in God, is where love abides. So where it says it will adorn its chosen home most carefully, making it ready to receive the gifts it wants by offering them to those who come unto its chosen home. Again, based on what we choose, so whether we are choosing, if I'm strongly identified with Corinne because I want to be, I'm going to call forth witnesses that reinforce my choice for that and tell me, oh, yeah, you are a body. Yes, you are Corinne. Yes, you can be sick. Yes, you can get hurt. Or if my chosen home is in the mind of God, I'm going to be calling forth witnesses to show me that, yes, in fact, that is the truth. So the choice is always ours as to where we identify, and then the witnesses come forth to show us what we've chosen. So that's what I take from that paragraph. Does anybody have anything they want to add?
Oh, here's the wonderful thing.
Interesting.
I think I heard, I think I heard Paul, then Meg, then Igor. How about we go in that order?
it's really kind of interesting because I wish you could just repeat what you just said because it just brought something to mind.
That's why we record these calls.
I'll have to go back and listen
to that.
You know,
it was about the witnesses. If we're identifying with the body, we're going to call forth witnesses that reinforce that choice. If we're identifying with the love that we are, we're going to call forth those witnesses.
I was walking at the beach this week, and I was in a really good space. And talk about calling forth witnesses. There were two boys and a dog on the beach, and I never saw anything so delightful in my life as the way these boys were, I'm going to say 11, 12 years old. And at first I thought they were going to get rough with this dog, but no, the dog and these boys were on the same page. They were having the most fun. I just never saw anything. And I think because I was in that space of just feeling great, this was shown to me. And I can't even describe it. I really can't even describe. It was just love, 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 and more love. That's the only way I can put it. And that, from, you know, what we were just reading and what you just said, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And when we bring other visions into things that aren't so pleasant, it's more than likely we're not in a very pleasant place.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. I guess we're responsible for everything, aren't we, Corinne? Hmm.
We have no slack. The Course gives us no
slack
whatsoever. We are responsible for all of it.
Every bit of it.
Much to the dismay of the ego part of the mind. It wants to blame and point the finger. Oh, thank you, Paula.
You're
up.
Okay,
Meg,
thank you.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. I was still getting used to this phone. where I was thinking, too, which is a pretty interesting perspective, is the fact that our bodies are temporal and they're not going to last forever anyway, and we are actually eternal. So when we focus a lot on the body, we are really focusing on something that's temporal. So the fact that we are eternal brings us liberation. We begin to understand liberation. So with that understanding, with the understanding of liberation, we can view, because we are in these bodies, we can view them differently. We can view them as something that is only temporal and to be taken care of and enjoyed and used in this, because we are embodied in this world, but we're also not in this world too. So it's good to keep a focus on the fact that we're almost like two places at one time, and really be rooted in the fact that we are eternal.
Yeah, thank you, Meg. I want to add to that. I have a couple of thoughts coming up that we think we're in these bodies. So that's an important distinction from saying we are in these bodies versus we think we're in these bodies. The language that I'm hearing you say sounds very, it sounds more of like the Eastern religions, like Buddhism and you know, the non-dual teachings. In Course terminology, I'd make a couple of additions that, yes, on this level of form, the bodies are temporal, but I would also add that rather than thinking about the body as temporal and that it won't last forever, think about it as a projection coming from our mind. Because I've been doing these classes with Corrine Walson, which some of you may know. She actually comes from a Christian Science background, but is also very much into A Course in Miracles. And she's been saying things out loud in these classes that I have had the hunch that, like, this is what the Course is saying, but I haven't heard anybody actually say it, that because, and the Bible says it too. Now, let me, okay, I'm going on a tangent here, but this is important, and I think you all will enjoy this. Let me just grab, I'm hoping I had asked a couple weeks ago, I think Paul said that in reading the Bible from having a Course perspective that you see whole, like different things in it now. So I actually was like, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. Corrine was talking about how the body being a projection means that just like Jesus in his resurrection, he could project a new body. Like, it wasn't maybe necessarily that, like, the old body got up and started walking again, but it was a re-projection coming from the mind. He mastered undoing the dream and totally knowing that the body is an absolute projection of the mind. The Course tells us that the way that the world will end is that it's not going to be destroyed or anything like that. It's going to merely cease to seem to be. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is ultimately, as we remember this truth fully, that we are eternal and that there is no death,
mm-hmm.
the Course says the body's not going to be old, it's not going to be sick, it's merely going to mm-hmm. be laid by because its usefulness is over. So I like to even get out of the thinking of time, mm-hmm. because the word temporal to me triggers mm-hmm. like a belief in the reality of time, when that's part of the dream too.
Right, that's
and,
true.
And and so the Course is teaching us that we have dominion over all of this. Like, this is mm-hmm. all literally coming from our minds, and we can reproject a new body. And, I mean, mm-hmm. there's one of my first spiritual teachers, which some of you may know, was Carolyn Mace. And in one of these audio recordings, this is back when I had a tape deck in my car, and it was a whole audio book on cassette tape, she talks about Padre Pio, who I believe was a Catholic priest. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Padre Pio could do is that he could bilocate. And there was actual record, according to Carolyn, I never looked this up for myself, mm-hmm. but during World War II, there were reports that there was some jet planes that were going to go bomb somewhere, and mm-hmm. they turned around because they reported seeing a monk in the sky telling them to turn around,
wow.
telling them to stop. And that was Padre Pio. So, like, that to mm-hmm. me, I was like, whoa, like, that's an example mm-hmm. of this idea that, like, the body, it could be here, it could be there, because it's literally all in the mind. Now, this, I know, is very... It can probably sound totally out there, but these are things that I've had the feeling that the Course is teaching, but I haven't mm-hmm. heard anybody actually articulate it until Corrine and until Nook Santos as well. And there's mm-hmm. actually a quote from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can just find it. I heard somebody in Corrine's class say this quote, and I just had to get my hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. So it's a quote from Jesus where he's talking about the shepherd and his flock. And basically, I'll just read this short paragraph. I'll start mm-hmm. emphasizing when I get to the part I want to emphasize. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them. Also, this too... will listen to my voice, they'll should be blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This is the command I received from my Father. Now, we know that Jesus in the Course is telling us that he's our older brother. What he did, we are completely capable of as well. And this, to me, is a biblical quote where he's speaking to this fact that the body is a projection of the mind. We mm-hmm. can lay it down, pick it back up, lay it back down, pick it back up, because it's literally a projection from our mind. So
mm-hmm.
I thank you for bearing with me on my tangent. This has just been stuff that I've been really excited about lately. So you reminded me of it, Meg. And so thank you for letting me share.
Have you ever heard of Randolph Scott Price?
Randall Scott Price?
Yes, he writes a lot of books.
I have not.
Okay, he's written a lot of books on spirituality. He had one called Jesus Code, which he was wanted a cosmic consciousness, and he had a dream where, like I said, see Jesus for this. So he was walking in the woods. But anyway, he was given several meditations, and he said, I don't know where he gets this information, but he communes with the higher realms. But anyway, he said that we had this ability. We had the mm-hmm. ability to be in the body, not in the body, project a body anywhere we wanted. We had this ability,
mm-hmm.
whether how many years ago, you know, he doesn't say, but we lost it. We lost the mm-hmm. ability, and we had
to forgot it.
We had to invent something to get us out of the friggin' body. So we invented
sickness. So we invented what?
We invented sickness and death because we mm-hmm. want to remain in the body. So So we recycle. We recycle through death the ability to do what we used to be able to do naturally.
Awesome. Thank you, Sue. I feel like I heard a couple other voices.
You asked me information about what I said about nooks and the one that you spoke of.
Corrine Walson?
Yes.
Nook Sanchez, is her blog is Take Me to Truth. If you just Google Nook Sanchez and Take Me to Truth, you'll find it. And then Corrine Walson it's Walson. You can find her on Facebook. She is, I think it's Truth Heals. I don't know how much she blogs, but if you find her on Facebook, she does a lot of spontaneous videos that she'll just, you know, get a download and she'll hop on her Facebook video and share it. So definitely find Corrine on Facebook. I'd recommend that.
So it's not like a forum like this where you talk and she teaches.
Right. No, the classes are, they've been going on, it was a 10-week class, and I think we're up to the eighth week, so I don't know if she's going to be offering the recordings. So if you wanted to email me, I could send you her email address, and you could ask her, you know, for the recordings, because she does have them all. So, yeah, no problem.
Corrine?
I heard some other voices. Yes. Is that Humira?
There's a book, yes. When you were talking about leaving the body and coming back to it at will, there's a book that I read years ago by Paramahansa Yogananda, and he's a monk from India who came to America, and he wrote a book basically on his experience with Hinduism, which he intertwined with Christianity and his teachings here. But he wrote this book, and he specifically talks about what you just said about his experience, even with his teacher, who he called his guru, and his teacher's teacher, being able to actually do these things that you speak of, leaving the body, actually people even being buried and then finding that they're like somewhere else, or being in two places at once. So it's really interesting that you're bringing this up. It's kind of reminding me of that book that I read years ago.
Cool. These teachings are literal. Like, this is not metaphorical or just nicey nice. Like, these teachings are very literal. And I love, just, you know, since all paths are bringing us to the same place, I love the fact, you know, that we're hearing these messages. Like, Padre Pio was Catholic. Yogananda, Hinduism. Like, we're hearing the same messages in these different pathways. This is wonderful.
You know what's really...
This is fast.
You know,
I was wondering if I could...
I hear Matt and I hear Meg.
Matt,
Meg, Weeby, do you have something? Okay,
no,
Matt, you're
go.
Up. And, okay, Matt, thank you.
Hey, yeah, so thank you for saying that it's not conceptual. It's really real. And I just wanted to share a really quick story about this. I mean, the theme I'm picking up on is like the body's totally neutral, and yet when it's just in the care of the Holy Spirit, like anything's possible. I, right when I started doing the course in 1997, of which I had fallen off of since then. But anyway, it was a really tough time, suicidal, was having a really tough time. I had terrible panic attacks and anxiety. So I go into this bookstore, and literally this book jumped. It just like grabbed me. And it was I'm With You Always. And it was people's firsthand stories of Jesus. And this is directly relevant to this whole thread. And I was like, oh, shoot, man, I can't afford this book. Like, I was a poor college student. But I kept, like, hearing that inner locution, like, just get the book, just get the book. So I think I mowed a lawn, and I got $20, and I went and bought the book. Fast forward 2 weeks, I made a decision that I needed to do healing work with my dad. So, again, skipping a ton of story here, I go and visit my dad in Washington, D.C., while I was in transit to go to California for a spiritual conference of sorts. So when I'm doing all this work with my dad, and I'm like trying to do this forgiveness bit, and I have no idea what I'm doing because I'm like, 19 years old. And I remember, so this one night I'm laying in bed, I do my course lesson, and then I pick up this book, and I start reading it, and it was like this thing hit me like a divine punch in the face, and it was about the meaning of the cross. It was, anyway, I remember having this thought, like, you need to remember this. And I literally got on my knees and I said, okay, Holy Spirit, like, I really am asking for some clarity if I'm on the right path, because I've got, like, panic attacks, and I don't know what's going on, and I need help. So the next day I get on the airplane, and I fly from D.C. to San Diego, but I had a layover in Denver. And fast-forwarding again, I'm walking through the airport, and I've always been, it's interesting about it, of course, I've always been a bit obsessed with health, which is a whole other topic for another time, that's in my profession. And so, like, I'm there, and of course, I'm like, where's the healthiest place to eat? And I walked into this, like, place, and I literally, again, heard the same inner direction, don't eat here, keep walking. So I keep walking, and I pass this burger joint, and I walk in, and I'm like, what am I doing in the burger joint? And I'm sitting there, and this guy walks in, and he's, like, the most beautiful guy, like, this long ponytail, maybe like 50 years old, big, crazy, awesome blue eyes. And he looked right at me and he winked at me. He stood behind me and I turned around and I was like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, hi. I'm like, are you by any chance going to that spiritual conference? And he's like, no, I know all about that, but that's not where I'm headed. And he's like, I feel like I'm supposed to have lunch with you. And he goes, yes. So anyway, this is a 100% true story. I sit down with this guy. And I'm like, what's your deal? Like, what do you do? And he goes, I just travel around the world teaching people about their souls. And he said, and I want you to know something. I want you to know my exact prayer the night before had been, Holy Spirit, give me a road sign that I'm on the right path. Give me a road sign that I'm on the right path. This guy goes, oh, I came here to tell you this. You're on the right path. It gets crazier. That part I heard about the cross, he said, well, let me tell you what I really need you to understand is the truth of the cross. And he said verbatim what I'd read the night before. And it was the most, like, profound thing. And then he said, it was really good to see you. I'll see you again. And he just, like, got up and he left. And I literally, my jaw dropped. I didn't even look around. Like, I don't know where the F he went. It was the craziest thing. I got on the airplane. I have never felt that much peace and that much love ever. And so when you talk about this stuff being so practical, and here was the gift of it. My panic attacks abated. I was able to get off the medication I was on, so on and so forth. And I remember that anyway. So that I just wanted to share that story. And I'm also, as you were talking about Padre Pio, literally his picture is sitting right on my Course in Miracles book that we were reading. So anyway, thank you.
Oh,
really,
no way.
So much hope, because it's just so powerful for me to remember that, because I need to remember that for various reasons.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, Matt, that story gave me goosebumps, and I am so grateful you shared it, because, again, this when we share experiences like this, it strengthens my trust. Mm. It strengthens. You just gave us all a dose of more trust, and I have goosebumps thanks. Just listening to everything that you shared. So thank you.
Well,
that
thanks,
was amazing.
Everybody. Thank you.
What I wanted to say about this call is it is just so amazing, because we could start talking about one thing about what's going on personally in our lives and just shift off into a conversation that is just so heart-opening. It's just amazing.
It is. It is. That's why I love this time. This is just such sacred time for me. I agree with you, Meg. Did I hear Billy? Okay, maybe not. Igor, I didn't forget about you. You were going to say something before. And we sort of went.
Thank you. Thank you, Karin. You're very kind. Well, yeah, the conversation turned out, it was said what I wanted to say, that just the fact that the course always speaks about the level of the mind, yeah? That's why, especially in chapter 2, there is it talks about charity, that we have to give charity, and Ken Wapnick says that very early students of the Course, they read it and they decided that charity is the way to go with the Course in Miracles. And so they started forming charity funds and give charity as a way of practicing the Course in Miracles. Yeah? While what the Course is talking about is forgiveness, introducing this whole concept of forgiving others. He compares it to charity when we give to someone even though they haven't deserved it yet from us, yeah? But we still give it because it's kind of a giving before they deserve it. And so we forgive them even before they deserve our forgiveness, maybe, right? And so the same thing with this. That's how, when you were reading this paragraph, Corinne, I heard someone sigh, and I understand why, because really, to the world's concepts, these words are outraging, right? How is it possible that gifts aren't made through bodies? That's how I lived all my childhood, right? Waiting for new gifts, new presents. But yes, this is. And as Meg, as you said, that in Ukraine, that the bodies is just a dream. This world is a dream, and our bodies aren't real. And that's why the gifts to bodies aren't real too. Only the gifts that we make on the level of the mind, as the Course always speaks about, only on the level of the mind. So only such gifts will last, and especially the gift of forgiveness. And that's why... very quickly, you were talking about the bodies. Someone was talking about the bodies and projecting. So it's useful to remind ourselves, why do we have the need in bodies in the first place? Why? So if it's our own projection, then why did we project it in the first place? And the need for it for us was that we have to find scapegoats, yes, for our guilt. Right, so the prodigal son left his father's heaven, and he felt extremely guilty for it. But we don't like to feel guilty in the court, when all the evidence, all the witnesses, they say yes, you are guilty, and they give the last word. The judge gives the last word, and they say I'm not guilty. Right, so that's how we hate to feel guilty, and so. We had to find scapegoats. That's why we agreed. We agreed to go miserable, to go little, to this little small suffering body, just to have others, just to have other bodies that we can blame for our own guilt, project our own guilt on them. Yes. And so right now, to undo all this craziness, to unwind from all this, to become whole one again, right? From this little self to the whole oneness, we have to forgive others. We have to forgive the guilt that we have projected on others. And the more and more we forgive, the more and more our awareness becomes. So we don't have to be focused on this little body anymore. Our awareness expands and expands until we can, yes, project, images all over the place, right? We can teleport from one place to another in the blink of an eye, and all kinds of miracles that Jesus was doing too. And so eventually we can wake up from this dream at all. Thank you.
Awesome. Beautiful, Igor. Thank you, thank you. That was such a helpful addition. Anybody else want to share?
I would.
Go for it, Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hey. So what brought me to the Course was I've had experiences where no matter who I went to talk to about, pastors, priests, psychologists, mind therapists, mothers, sons, daughters, nobody could seemingly relate. But I heard a voice one night going to bed, and it said, get up in the morning and come and spend some time with me. And I've only had this experience happen a few times in my life, but when I heard the voice, I knew I heard the voice. And I looked at my wife and I said, hey, I'm going to go in the morning and be with God. And she goes, what does that mean? Like, nobody ever knows. I don't know what that means. So I get up in the morning and I'm thinking, maybe it means pray for 1 hour, like Jesus said to the disciples, couldn't you be with me for even 1 hour? So I'm going to pray for an hour before I start my day. I prayed on my knees in my office for a couple of minutes and fell asleep. Then I woke up. I was upset with myself because I fell asleep. Came back the second day, tried it, fell asleep. The third day, tried it. I was praying for my dog, for family, whoever. I didn't know what to pray. You know, I run out of things to pray. I'd fall asleep. I'd get bored. Finally, literally 3 weeks of doing this, I came into that room. My wife today is still my witness that these things happened. I would go into the room on like a Tuesday, and I'd literally come out on a Friday afternoon, and my wife goes, what were you doing in there? There's no way. How did you go to the bathroom? And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, to be in there for that long. And I go, well, I was only in there for 2 hours. What are you talking about? Sometimes I would go in there and I thought I was in there for 4 days, and I was in there for a half hour or 20 minutes. But I never spoke anything to the person I was with. Not one time did I move my lips, nor did he. We always knew what each other thought. And this room that I went to had a big white stone table, because it's probably for where I'm at, what I can accept is true, you know, that this could happen, because now I know none of that had anything to do with anything either, because God cannot be found in form. But there was a big book open on the white stone table. Every day I went to this room, this went on for 9 months. I couldn't go to work. Who could go to work when you can go to places, you know? You can't. Who can leave your house and seek for anything when you go to places? And so I would do this for 9 months. You know how long it takes to have a baby? Okay. For 9 months, this went on. Every day I went to him, the white stone table was there in a big book, bigger than this Circle of Atonement, the latest edition, much bigger than this one, was on the table. And every time I went there, what the quote-unquote lesson was, is everything that I thought I cherished and believed was bullshit, you know, from communion. I would leave that room in my body as real as you think you're sitting where you're at right now, as real as you believe where you're sitting right now. I would leave that room with that man, and I would be sitting in the middle of a church. I have no idea how I got there, how this is possible. And I would walk up to the front of the church like I had no control over my body. I was witnessing my own body's action. And it would pick up the communion, the bread and stuff, and then just tilted it backwards all over the floor and looked up and said, it's finished. You don't have to wait for my return. I'm here. And then I would be back in that room and I'd be astonished, like, why did I do that? What? But it was my fear, you know, what I had to overcome, because I believed that communion was so holy and sacrificial, part of my earning of being accepted by my Father. But anyway, I wanted to share what I just shared, because it is what brought me to this course. The things I've read, this isn't bragging, because I used to say to God, why are you doing this to me? Why? Nobody will listen, let alone believe any of this. And over I heard the same thing. So that you could be a testimony of what is available for everybody to do.
Yeah.
You know? I'm no respecter of persons. And so much more that we all have to grasp onto of who we are. The greatness. Ooh. The greatness of who we are already. Not to be, we already are. Thank you. I love you guys.
Oh, Greg. Wow. Wow. I never knew that. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm utterly blown away. And when I just so value this time that we can share in these experiences, because that shows me what's possible. Again, it's like another foundational stone in my foundation of spirit. So, wow. I have no words except gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, what Greg shared is beautiful, and I just feel like called to share again that it is happening now. It's right now. It's just that we don't tend to give voice to these experiences, and they may take on many different forms. For me, it's been, you know, through psychic mediumship and working with angels. For some, it's meditation. For others, it's, you know, other things. But these are all miraculous experiences of the truth that the body is not our identity. And it's happening now. It's not some thing that we will remember how to do later, because it's never left us. It's something that's happening now. It's like when the Course says miracles are natural. It's as natural as, just like Greg was saying, as how real you think it is that you're sitting here, when really we're not sitting here at all. Mm-hmm. We never were. And I know that sounds a bit strange, but it's true.
No, it's perfect, Deidre. If I can just say that another way that Corinne was saying it, the idea of Deidre, or the idea of Corinne, or the idea of my chicken, who I've been dealing with, one of my chicken babies who's been having some issues, that idea of Deidre, of Corinne, never entered into matter. It never entered into matter. So this isn't life. This is not our truth. This is not our reality. And that's just been such a freeing thought for me. And Deidre, I also want to highlight and reemphasize what you said about, like, this is all, it's all now. This is all available to us now. You know how the Course says that we had that tiny, mad idea that we forgot to laugh at, and the instant we had that tiny, mad idea, God gave the solution, which is the Holy Spirit, that this is all over and done already. In that tiny blip, in that tiny, tiny blip of forgetting to laugh, is all of what we think of as time and this universe. It's all of this seeming linear temporal plane. In that tiny, 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 tiny little blip, it's all done. So truth has remained unchanged. I just wanted to really emphasize that Deidre, what you said, it is all happening. It's all right now. It's nothing that we're going to, you know, have to do or achieve or worry about later, that this is all, as we release the blocks, as we let go of the fears, as we forgive. I'm hearing Igor's voice, because he mentioned this again, that the Course being all about forgiveness, it's that forgiveness that helps us shed those blocks for our awareness to open up and expand and to realize everything that is available to us and that is right now.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing logical about it.
Nothing logical at all. It's threatening to the idea of the small mind, because it will go, you know, how can that be possible?
Yes,
and it will try to make you question everything that's true.
But that's the when I can put logic aside, when I'm clear enough to stop the questions and stop the nonsense, I can experience it.
Yeah. I laugh now, because I just find it so divine. There's so many people who have come to this pathway, for example, through anxiety and panic attacks and being psychic or intuitive or thinking they're going nuts and being on medication and all of these things. And I just see it as a barometer of sensitivity to the truth of who and what we are. And yeah. So when I hear someone describing, you know, how they came to be here on this path, and I recognize the familiarity that's there for all of us, because it doesn't matter how it expresses itself in form, it's the same thing. It's all the same thing. And so it just, you know, when Matt was talking earlier, I just was like, yep, been there, done that. And, you know, I'm just so excited. And now I don't mind doing the work, even when I'm in those moments where, you know, my small self wants to say, oh, this is icky. You know, there's another part of me, the inner teacher, that knows every time I'm uncovering an untruth, I'm filling myself up with even more of that truth. And that awareness of the miracle unfolding just expanded and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And, of course, I'm talking in levels now, but it's like I just feel so much gratitude, and that it's a privilege to be here at this time to be sharing these ideas and these truths, really.
I am with you, Deidre.
Beautiful.
What wonderful heart-opening shares. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, everybody. Matt, Greg, everyone, Meg, Deidre. Oh, my gosh, everybody. Sue, I'm not naming everybody on the call, but all of you, thank you for holding the space, for being here, for sharing. I love you all so much.
Love you guys, too.
We love you, too. Thank you.
Have a beautiful week.
Have a good night, everyone.
God bless you all.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.